DeMarco Show, the best wrestling program on the planet. On the planet.
She said, Bray Wyatt, the first time that I ever looked inside of your eyes, I knew there was something inside of you. I knew that you were evil. But I am proud to say that right now somewhere that teacher lady is rotting inside of some retirement home filled up with all of her life's regrets. But I, Bray Wyatt, stand here in front of you today as a conqueror, as a revolutionary, as the man of a thousand troops, and I say, Miss Teacher Lady, look at me right now. I got the whole damn world in my hands. I am the necessary evil that must exist in this world to balance everything out. I am evil.
Greg DeMarco Show.
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Really?
This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Really?
I like Greg DeMarco.
Sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Anybody got time for that?
No, Greg. No, Greg. I'm serious. I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Patrick, is someone tuckered out? Oh, sneaky. You gotta go to bed, huh?
And I love you, Greg.
Damn!
We all love Greg DeMarco.
That I love Patrick O'Dowd.
Yes!
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Oh, you guys are so adorable.
That's gonna be a soundbite right there.
Uh-oh. You're welcome.
And I love you, Greg.
You're listening to The Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and, that's not, they come off really weird. Oh my god, see, this is what happens when you're trying too hard. That's what happens. That's, I just gotta, third time's a charm. This is The Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to The Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show, on the web.
Poor Greg DeMarco. The wrestling really had to go down. Sexy and dangerous as too young. This is Greg DeMarco Show.
We're here.
We are here and we are live. It is 10:30 on the East Coast and 7:30 here on the West Coast in America. I guess if you're listening to another country, you have coasts as well. But it's Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd right here on the Greg DeMarco Show. Getting geographical, Patrick O'Dowd, as we kick things off this week.
Yeah, playing with the map today. I'm a little confused. It's like fourth grade all over again.
I know, and from what I know of you, that's the last year you want to relive. That's for sure.
It was a tough year for me.
It was
last year I was in school.
You have a vagina!
Yep, that's right. No sound bites tonight, according to Patrick O'Dowd on the, or less sound bites.
I didn't say no. I promised. I didn't necessarily, I guess, really promise. I was denied by the powers that be. The authority told me no.
That's right. No sound bites are best for business.
I was trying to keep it at the minimum, you know, a 30-minute clip. I figured that was still ample time on a 2-hour show. So,
I mean, it's more you making those decisions than it is the act of minimizing the sound.
You know your damn role and shut your damn mouth.
I mean, that's what you. I'll tell you what, just for you. We'll cut back on the sound bites, just for you.
I feel like you're lying.
You feel like lying? Why?
I feel like you're lying. I'm
not. Oh, you feel
lying.
Like I'm lying.
I know a setup when I see it, man.
Yeah, no, we're not going to do that.
You're welcome.
The people love it. And we are men of the people, Patrick O'Dowd. We're men of the people.
People power.
That's right. People power. I don't have a people power soundbite.
That's okay.
That one did not resonate to the level of becoming a soundbite. But there is one little soundbite by one John Laurinaitis that did in fact become a soundbite.
I'd actually like to take this opportunity to wish
Greg DeMarco Show
the best in all his future endeavors.
Before we take a break, Patrick, before we take a break and get the guest, the beautiful Renee Michelle, question for you. Do you remember who the name was in that soundbite that I removed to put in the Greg DeMarco Show?
That's
the wrong one. Hang on. I hit the wrong
Greg
button.
DeMarco?
I'd actually like to take this opportunity to wish
Greg DeMarco Show
the best in all his future endeavors.
That's right. Matt, you know what this is, Patrick O'Dowd? This is trivia time with Greg DeMarco.
Why are we going to do – I don't even care. Like, that's so long ago. It's so trivial. I'm sure it's like a John Cena or a Daniel Bryan or a Punk maybe. Punk, he was fighting with Punk on time. You're really cutting into your time, man.
Yeah. Now are you in the mood to answer the question? Like that,
not really, but that's okay. Like, Allie Parker's not on the rundown today. I don't see her name on the list.
There are people right now who are like yelling the answer out because
I don't care.
I'd actually like to take this opportunity to wish
Greg DeMarco Show
the best in all his future endeavors.
John Morrison.
Hi, John Morrison. Yeah. That guy put so many butts in the seats. That's why that storyline stuck with me. Like
he was legitimately released, and he was legitimately released, and then they actually did that on the air. They had John Morrison do it, and or not John Morrison, John Laurinaitis.
John Morrison being the guy who got canned.
I don't even know if they really use the Future Endeavors line any longer.
No, I think it became such a parody of itself that. Even when the WWE does actually release someone, they don't use it very often anymore. Anyway, very rarely.
A lot of people believing that's going to be the Australian Emma. It's not. This won't even be a thought next week.
They bow leave.
That's right. They bow. I did like when Daniel Bryan called Bo Dallas a boner and then politely asked him to bow leave. That I enjoyed.
I liked him politely asking him to bow leave. The boner thing just didn't work for me.
The boner thing, here's the problem, though. That will be a chant that we'll have to hear forever.
Well, thanks, Vince.
Because that's all that wrestling. Maybe Daniel Bryan ad-libbed that line. We don't know. We don't know at all. But we're going to take a break in this conversation. And we got tons of wrestling to talk about here this week on the Great North. A lot's gone on over the past week, so we got lots of fun stuff to talk about. But Patrick O'Dowd, before we do any of that, we do have a guest to bring on the program. We're going to take a quick break so I can go get the beautiful Renee Michelle and bring her on the show. Before, though, Patrick O'Dowd, what song would you like to hear?
Well, last week we spent a lot of time doing old school, so I feel like we gotta bring back some of the modern music. I'm gonna blow it early and go with Edge. With Edge.
The people love it, as do all we. So enjoy the Edge theme song. We'll be right back here on the Greg DeMarco Show with Renee Michelle.
You think you know me?
Show.
Hi, my name's Leanne from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Then two-time VOC Nation Babe of the Week, Leanne Marie?
Cool. Yes, it is. I heard it was a little Irishman's birthday over there, so I figured I'd get the call. Happy birthday. You know what else I heard is true? The Irishmen have a curse.
That's an urban legend.
Are you sure? Well, hopefully you can prove it to me that you're not.
Oh, hey.
Hello.
Hi, yeah,
I'll have a surprise for you in Philly. So whenever you come here and you're not too scared, you can contact me. This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
Enjoy the
Greg DeMarco Show.
And remember, it's party time, all the time.
Hey, oh, 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 oh.
Little trip down memory lane for you, Patrick O'Dowd. Your first ever birthday surprise here on the Great DeMarco Show.
What, that's so long ago.
It was. If only people knew. If only people knew what went on behind the scenes to make that happen, it would be.
There was a lot of work there.
It was a lot of work. A lot of back and forth with plenty of different people. Because at the time, we didn't know this person, and we wanted to go with someone more known. And, well, things just kind of went. And,
yeah,
and it was fun. Well, it was fun. But
it was a big time.
That was like 3 years ago now.
It was.
Maybe 2 years. Maybe 2 years ago now.
Two plus years.
We were already part of the VOC Nation back then at the time. The first of two stints with the Nation. But we fast forward to today, over 3 years on the air, and we are pleased to welcome a guest on the show, Patrick O'Dowd, because, as tradition would have it, we have achieved guest.
Hooray!
You know what that means when we've achieved guest, Patrick O'Dowd.
It's time!
It is time to bring on the air with us a very beautiful, very talented young wrestler in the world of professional wrestling, one that has been requested by several different listeners over the course of time here on the Greg DeMarco Show. So we are pleased to bring her to you, the masses listening here at Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, Powerhouse Radio. It is Renee Michelle. Renee, thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to the Greg DeMarco Show.
Wow, thank you. I'm flattered.
Oh, we're just glad that you would choose to join us because, you know, we like to bring to the listeners someone that they may have heard of and someone they may not have heard of, and I think you kind of fall in the middle there. This is the fun part for Patrick and I because as I asked the first question, we know that our listeners are immediately taking to their computer and searching for Renee Michelle. They are Facebook or Twitter, and they're like,
Google,
who is this
Google
person?
Image is live. Google Image is live. I repeat,
Google Images
are live.
Oh man.
We've got years of experience doing this, three of them anyway.
Safe search off. Safe search off. Oh, sorry. I got carried away.
You did.
Oh, really?
You knew she was coming on. You had time to do this ahead of time.
I could neither confirm nor deny that allegation.
Uh-huh.
I'm innocent.
Innocent.
You don't know me. What?
Patrick O'Dowd, I think we're taking the wrong approach, Patrick O'Dowd.
I don't have it up. Wait, hold on. Let me click this. Nope, never mind.
Wow, that didn't come out as you planned. It did not.
That's not cool.
It wasn't cool.
I think we need to take the opposite approach and be men of the people, Patrick O'Dowd, and just be like, yeah, we looked. We need to know these things.
Aw, shucky, ducky, quack.
What? That's what we need to do. Poor Renee. Wow, I thought this was going to be an interview and just you guys
what
talking
did,
about
yeah.
It's, you know, I can never forewarn someone, Renee, because we just never know how these things are going to go on the show. All I promise you is that we would have fun. And so far, Patrick O'Dowd and I are having fun.
Yeah, no problem. I'll go with the flow. Don't worry. I'm up for anything.
That's a dangerous thing to tell Patrick O'Dowd.
Yeah,
that's all I'm gonna
I can neither confirm nor deny.
No comment.
Yeah,
I could confirm or deny, but I won't.
You don't know me.
Anyway, Renee, let's talk about you, because that's why people are listening. There are some people yelling at their computer right now, telling us to shut up so they can hear more of you. For our listeners who are less familiar with you, take them back a little bit. What or who inspired you to take yourself on this journey and become a professional wrestler?
Oh, wow. I'm always up for a challenge. You know, I like to try new things, you know. I like to be very spontaneous and see where life could possibly take me, but... You know, I will admit, like, unfortunately, I didn't grow up on wrestling, you know. I wish I did so I could, you know, be able to tell, you know, the many different, like, you know, great things about, you know, wrestlers in history. But, you know, I'm still a newbie, mm-hmm. you know, in the industry, but I'm learning. So don't underestimate me.
So how'd you get into it then? If you're a newbie and didn't really follow it for years ahead of time, which is fine, you're not the only one. How do you end up in this crazy world of professional wrestling?
Around almost 2 years ago, you know, a group of friends of mine, they invited me to a TNA event, and I attended. You know, me not knowing what I was getting myself into, and during the time, you know. I was introduced by Dwayne Gilbert. Everyone knows him as, you know, Gilbert when Goldberg and Gilbert, you know, did the skit together back in the day. But, you know, he convinced me, and, you know, I immediately fell in love with the sport, you know, after, like, you know, training and stuff like that. And I'm still training. I'm currently still training as of today. You never stop training. You're always learning something new, you know. But, from there, you know, I also trained over at the House of Pain in Hagerstown, Maryland, and then I trained a little bit over at ROH, and currently right now I'm training at the MCW Training Center located in Joppa, Maryland.
Gotcha. So you've definitely gone around with your training, which is excellent. And Patrick O'Dowd, I don't know if you noticed, but she said you always train. You never stop training. You always get better. That's the problem with our show. After like a year, we just stop trying to get better. And that's why we are where we are now. That's lesson learned.
Did you just call us fit, like complacent?
I did. No, I'm kidding. We've learned something from you. We've learned something from you, Renee, and we appreciate that. Go ahead, Patrick.
The whole thing that segued into how you got into wrestling. So you've met Gilbert.
Yes. Well, I mean, more so, not that I met him, it's more so he chased me down.
Well, because here's the thing. You have to understand, and Greg, back me on this.
Oh, I will.
I love Dwayne Gill and Gilbert and the character. Love him. I've never met the guy ever, and so to hear this, you're huge in my eyes already. You have walked near wrestling royalty, in my opinion. And I'm not even kidding.
Aww.
Let me just put this in perspective for you, Renee. If I called Patrick O'Dowd and said, look, I have the opportunity to book one of two guests for this program, Patrick O'Dowd, I could book Hulk Hogan for the show. I could do a double shot with Hulk Hogan and John Cena, or, because we only have time, or we could have Gilbert on the show. Patrick O'Dowd would probably request Gilbert.
Oh, awesome.
I think it'd be the best story to hear from. I can only imagine what he could tell people about working in the ring with the people that he's worked with and his experience working in the WWE and all that. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I had to get that out because I was going to forget it if I didn't. I was very excited to hear that. So you mentioned that you've been working for a couple of years now, Renee. And in your career, you've shared the ring with plenty of women. Who so far has been your favorite opponent to work with?
To work with? Oh, gosh. Well, there's so many. You know, the girls, they're very kind girls. They're very nice and, you know, professional. But, Yeah, I worked again, you know, in a tag team match with Mickey James against Angelina Love and Jessie K. You know, those girls, they're phenomenal, you know. Mickey, so far, you know, I was able to have the honor to be able to work with her. You know, I was very psyched about that. Never thought of my frame, but very psyched about that. And also, alongside is like, you know, I was tagged with Robbie Illuminati going against Casey Carlisle and Steven Diaz. And surprisingly, Lita was the referee, you know.
Nice.
So, Lita.
Yeah, so, okay, sorry, I thought Lita was the referee. Did you actually get any time to, like, interact with her, work with her? Did she give you any feedback, anything like that? What was that experience like?
Oh, yeah, like, definitely. Lita, she's such a sweetheart, you know. She basically told me, you know, continue doing what I'm doing, you know, never give up, continue training, you know, you're never going to stop learning. You know, she says basically where I'm at right now, she tells me I'm doing good for where I am right now and continue pushing harder. You know, don't let anyone try to tell you any different.
Now wait a minute, Patrick O'Dowd. Was that paused because you were doing the Google image search? Is that what happened?
No, shut up, man.
I don't know. I'm skeptical. And if you are, I'm sure you're looking at the fifth picture because I know I am. I'm just kidding. I don't even know what that is.
I'm like, wait, should I click on that tab?
Now hey. You're checking.
No.
This is what we do. This is why
I kid. So Renee, you gave us a nice little rundown of where you started, and you even mentioned you're still training, you're still working hard, and trying to improve. Based on we know where you are now. Where are you going, and what do you think what is your long-term goal in professional wrestling?
Well, of course, like as anyone else, to make it to the top, you know, that's where I definitely would like to be there for sure. But, you know, like I love it. I can't think of anything else, you know. I mean, the adrenaline, the drive, the ambition, you know, the determination, you know, the excitement of it all. It's like a high for me. So to be able to deliver that to the audience, especially for the fans, you know, to get a reaction out of it, as long as the fans are happy, I'm completely happy. I know that I'm doing my job if I'm able to deliver it for the fans. You know, it's the fans that make you the stars. And without them, we wouldn't exist.
Yeah, you're 100% right, and it's, you know, like I said, even for us, like it was, you know, you were a guest that listeners requested to bring on the show, and I want to share with you an excerpt from an email that I received after announcing your interview, and I get emails, some not so nice towards me, or even towards Patrick. We had a listener at one point that would email me complaining about Patrick O'Dowd every week. She stopped doing that. I haven't heard from Lisa in a while, Patrick O'Dowd.
Oh, man.
But I wanted to,
she got it out
you know,
for you.
When,
I thought
the,
I was
when,
drunk
when,
on the air. I mean, I get it.
You might have been. I want to read, though, to you, Renee, an excerpt from an email that I received after announcing your interview from a listener. It says, I won't read the whole thing because some people can be long-winded, but it says, I've been listening to your show for over a year, which I'm upset, Patrick O'Dowd, because we've been on the air for over 3 years, and I was excited to see that you were bringing on such a beautiful native princess in Renee. As a Native American, I don't feel like we see this enough. And that's one person's perspective on your heritage. How important is that to you, you and your heritage, in the world of pro wrestling?
Of course, it's like, you know, unfortunately I'm not, you know, 100% Native. You know, I'm pretty much of a hybrid. But, you know, if you really have to think about it, okay, you have in the industry, you have, like, you know, a lot of the Latins, a lot of the Italians, a lot of the, you know, a lot of the, you know, African-Americans. But, unfortunately, there's not that many Natives, you know. It's like, okay, back then, of course, you know, Chief Strongbone and, like, Tatanka, you know, yeah, but, you know, and I'm pretty sure, you know, there were female Natives back in the day, but not enough. So, of course, I want to bring that to the table, and I wanted to be able to represent that. Like, hey, we're still here. We'll, you know, we still do exist as of today. And not only on top of that, it stands out from the others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was little, I used to go to the little powwows, you know. Yeah, I enjoy it, you know. I very much enjoy it. I was brought up in many different cultures, you know. I wasn't just brought up in one single solitary culture because me being multiracial, you know, I don't see black and white. You know, I see me as a human as a whole, but also with many different ethnic backgrounds.
Right. So are there other aspects of other ethnic backgrounds that you'd like to bring out as part of your character in the future?
I'll leave that a surprise, but as far as my background, I'm mixed with Cuban, Native American, Italian, Black, Irish, Spanish, Cherokee, French, and German, you know.
That's
how much of a hybrid I am.
I don't even think you can fit that on one line. Like, that's like a page. That's a heck of a...
That's too much for the Twitter bio. Like, you can't even do that.
Yeah, it's too many characters.
Exactly.
It's like, I feel bad now. I'm 100% Italian. I feel bad that I only have that. Like I suck.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
All right. See, I didn't want I wanted her to tell me it was okay. I don't need help.
If you were looking for help from Renee, you should have been like, Renee, I suck, Renee.
But
you're not above begging. I've seen this. I've known
That's
you
true.
For years.
Yeah, so of course, you know, I wasn't brought out on one culture. I was brought on many different cultures and also had to learn, you know, the languages as well, you know. My language is a little bit rusty, but, you know, I'm just still understand it to a certain amount of sense to get to point A to point B.
Right. Exactly. And, I mean, do you ever get, like, do people focus on that, on your heritage or different aspects of your heritage as fans or even as people in the crowd?
Of course. You know, if I have, like, you know, Spanish speakers coming up to me and speaking to me in Spanish, you know, of course I'm going to respond. If I have, like, Italian speakers, you know, trying to speak to me in Italian, of course, I'm going to try as much as I can to respond. I mean, I even took Japanese, and I have friends from over in Japan that, you know, even though their English is okay, you know, at least I'm able to understand to a certain amount of extent and be able to talk right back with them.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that's it's really impressive to see, you know, how much you've embraced, you know, the fans and that interaction and being able to share, you know, who you are with them. I think that makes you something, you know, somebody who can be a lot more accessible to fans when you're out there working in the ring. And it's something, you know, people look for a way to connect. And so that's a terrific way to get that out there. But what I do want to say, like, I really appreciate what Greg read. It was very nice. It was very sweet. But we work in the internet world. And we can tell you from experience, Greg even shared like things that happened to us, but we know from our experience that a lot of women wrestlers also get some really odd, sometimes comical, sometimes creepy messages from male fans. Can you tell us? You already know. So what's the strangest thing a fan has ever said to you or sent to you?
Oh, man, where do I even begin? Where do I even fathom to begin on that? Gosh. Well, you have the typical individual that want to buy your used underwear. I had another individual that basically wanted to lick the bottom of my feet and my bottom of my boots clean and wanted me to, you know, step on his face and spit in his face. I had another individual that apparently wanted to lick my under armpit and smell both of them. So it gets even more creepier than that, you know. I mean,
you've definitely got a fetish market thing going on.
Wait. So he only wanted to lick one armpit, but he wanted to smell both? Like, I don't understand what is it not?
He said armpits. So.
Oh, okay.
Oh my, okay.
My bad. Sorry, creepy wrestling fan out there. I apologize. I got your request wrong.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I'm not quite sure how to respond to that because I feel like, you know, the schoolgirl dealing with the pedophile type of thing, even though I'm much older, you know. But, you know, in my head, it's like, you know, who does that, you know?
Yeah, that's
but
weird.
Also on, yeah, I know. But also on top of that, I mean, Jesus. I mean, even when I was at the shows, I mean, even people, like, offered to buy, like, you know, my socks that I have been used. They got, like, my sweaty socks, you know, that's been used from, like, doing matches and stuff. And one individual wanted to buy that. I'm like, okay, you know, if you're into sticky feet, you know, that's your prerogative, you know. But, I had another individual, you know, of course, during the time when I was wearing, you know, I'm wearing extensions, and I guess, like, one of the extensions came out, and he took off with it. He, like, literally took off with it. He was so happy that he had it. I don't know if he's going to make a voodoo doll out of it or what, you know, but...
It's best not to ask.
Yeah, I don't think I want to know, you know. I mean, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, you take my feathers out of my hair, but it's another, you know, you ran off with somebody's hair extension.
Wow.
Yeah, that's...
we asked for the Pandora's box to be open there, man.
And it was.
Yeah, that was...
That's a strange bit of thievery, stealing the hair
yeah.
extensions or the feathers out of some... Like, do you make a play for them? Like, oh, there's a hair extension. Like, cover me. I'm going for it.
No,
like,
no. It's just like, you know, unfortunately, you know, like, you know, there's some girls that wear extensions, and I so happen to be one of them. You know, I used to have long hair. I cut it all off. I donated it to Locks of Love, you know, because I had a girlfriend of mine that was sick due to cancer. And, yeah, I'm rocking a hair extension. But other than that, you know, yeah, it was just so strange that he was just so happy about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and Greg, and you act surprised. I'm actually not that surprised. Like we've been to shows. We've seen some of the characters that are at various shows. Whether it's and it doesn't matter. Let's get this out of the way. It doesn't matter if you're going to a WWE Monday Night Raw taping to that 50-person indie that you paid $1.50 to get into to see. Like, there's always a variety of characters at indie shows, not just in the ring, but in the audience. So, I buy it that there's, that, like, to hear that, it's like, so it's weird, but, like, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, at this point, you can never be surprised, you know, on anything. You know, expect the unexpected. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Well, we went to ECWA, Raising the Bar last summer, where you were simply this lady in red. And we probably heard things people said, Patrick Goddard, and we probably don't even remember them because it is kind of normal for us to hear those things.
Yeah.
Like, things were probably said and yelled out, and we probably just don't even remember them because they are that normal. Renee, we have gotten a couple questions via the Twitter, and if you wouldn't mind, would it be okay if we had some listener-requested questions for you via the Twitter?
Sure, I'm totally up for it.
Excellent. Well first, I'll kind of work backwards here, so... A good friend at Wine WWETNA, big fan. One of the people who actually requested that we bring you on the show is asking a question. He kind of wants you to go a little more in depth about your in-ring style. Like, are you trying to make people tap out? Are you flying off a top rope? Are you busting out the barbed wire hardcore? Like, what exactly? How would you describe it to somebody who hasn't seen you wrestle your in-ring style?
Gosh, you know. My in-ring style, more so I like to be a hybrid, you know. I like to mix it up. I don't want to stick to one individual style and stick with that only. You know, it's great to be able to be to know different styles and be able to use that against another opponent, you know, without them even realizing, like, oh, well, she switched this up on me, or, oh, where the heck she can learn this from, or... You know, so I like to bring a surprise, not only to the audience, but also to my opponent as well. You know, not only that I'm not just a pretty face, but I could also be able to deliver to the table.
That's true.
So it could be either from maybe a mixture with the Lucha Libre to the high flying, maybe a little bit into the more technical side, or I may bring in somewhat of the strong style that side.
There you go. Patrick Godowski is going to drop somebody on their head. That's what's going to happen.
Ain't nothing wrong. As long as it's not her head getting dropped on, I think we're okay.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, as long as you do the draw, as you do the dropping, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. Go for it.
Oh, I was just going to jump right into the next question, so I didn't know if you had another thought.
Dive on in.
Okay. So Renee, if you were not in the wrestling industry, what do you think you would be pursuing as a career?
Well, before I got into wrestling, when Gilbert found me, I was doing acting.
So what kind of stuff did you do?
What did you?
Well, I was just new into acting, and I was in an independent, like dealing with like independent films, like, you know, with martial arts, you know, because I grew up on martial arts since the age of 4. I did Muay Thai, Taekwondo, Kung Fu, and weapons. So growing up on that, you know, that also helped me, you know, with wrestling as well. But, you know, before I even did acting and working with independent films, and then, you know, some you deal with union and non-union workers, you know, which is great. You know, it's great for networking. You'll be surprised the individuals that you end up coming across or meeting. Before I did acting, I used to do import modeling. So I don't know if you know, like, you know, Hot Import 9 or, like, you know, the Japanese street racing cars. Like, yeah, I was in that. That was, like, a long time ago, you know. Like, I left the industry a long time ago. And I wanted to challenge myself, you know, into acting.
Gotcha. So, see, yeah, multifaceted, multi-talented. Patrick O'Dowd, very much, definitely a very, very talented individual. I do want to kind of talk about an event you've got coming up, Renee, and that is July the 12th for the East Coast Wrestling Association, where you debuted over a year ago as that mysterious lady in red that we were talking about, and you've grown to become the second ever ECWA Women's Champion. What did it mean for you when they put that title on you?
I was happy as a clown. I think I deserved it, you know, after all the beatings I got in my life. Finally, it's about time. But, you know, I was very happy. I was happy as can be. I was like, finally, I have won. I have finally defeated Jesse Kay, you know. But, you know, I'm pretty sure she's not done with me yet. Neither am I done with her. So we'll see what happens at the next event.
Exactly, and it is on July 12th, Newark, Delaware, because you're going in the ECWA's Hall of Fame show, not only to defend your title, but you're defending your spot on the roster since you guys are going at it in a loser leaves ECWA match. Kind of feel like the stakes have never been higher for you there. What can she expect out of you to make sure you keep your spot?
She better keep her eyes open. She better not blink for 1 second. And she better keep her eyes, she better keep everything very sharp. That's all I have to say, is to stay on your toes. Because for that split second, I may get you at the end.
That's right. All it takes is 3 seconds, Patrick O'Dowd.
That is true.
Exactly.
We all know how that works. So, wonderful. Well, I know how busy you are, and we definitely appreciate you taking the time out to come on the show with us and share with our listeners. Like I said, they were requesting you a lot to be on the program. If our listeners want to follow up and keep up with you more, you know, social media, whatever that may be, the good ones, not the creepy ones, but the good ones, where can they find you? What's the best way for them to find you?
They can find me at facebook.com/1RenéeMichelle. You can also find me on Twitter, which I promise for the life of me that I'll give back to everyone, as well as 1RenéeMichelle. I'm an Instagram lover, so Lady RM. So yeah, like any messages, feedbacks, whatever the case may be, you know, stay patient. I do respond back to people, you know, it may take me a little bit, but I do try to get back to each and every individual.
That's right. And for those of you who have not seen Renee Michelle's Facebook or her Instagram accounts before.
You're welcome.
That's right. That's all I'm going to say. They'll find
out
for themselves.
Thank you. And on top of that, on Facebook, you know, it has my schedule throughout the whole year, so they will know which event, where I'll be at next.
Exactly. And so you make it easy for them, which you should, because they're able to follow you, follow your career, which is only going to go to bigger and better things in the future. So we're glad you came on. Hopefully we weren't too bad for you, and you'll come back on and do this again with us sometime.
Of course, anytime.
Wonderful. We appreciate it. Best of luck on the 12th. Hopefully she knows what she has coming in that match, and we can't wait to see the exciting things you do in the future. So thank you so much for coming on, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thank you so much. I'll talk to you later.
There we go, Patrick O'Dowd. Renee Michelle, brand new one for our listeners. I do want to remind everybody, the East Coast Wrestling Association does present their Hall of Fame induction show at the Greater Newark Boys and Girls Club on July 12th, featuring Renee Michelle versus Jessie Kay in a Loser Leaves ECWA match for that Women's Championship, plus a triple threat match for the ECWA Championship held by Bobby Shields and Patrick O'Dowd, our good friend, the Greek God Papadon, will be on the card, including a Hall of Fame induction of one of our favorite people, Damian Dragon, does get inducted into the ECWA Hall of Fame. Visit ECWAProWrestling.com for details, tickets, and more information. So there you go. We're good friends with the ECWA. Patrick O'Dowd, we had some fun there.
Yeah, we did. Good time.
As well. That's right. You got choked by the Greek God Papadon.
I tried to assert myself and my name, and let's just say it did not go as planned.
No, it did not go as planned, but that's okay.
Yeah. All photos were taken.
They were, and hopefully you still have them, because that when I switched phones and the other phone died, so did a lot of photos.
I mean, that happens as we go from phone to phone in the world.
It's technology. Technology these days requires a lot of backing up.
It sure does. The cloud. You need to put it in the cloud, whatever that is.
Put it in the cloud, not the end cloud. We don't have to do the end cloud anymore.
That's right.
We have to do the cloud. So, Patrick, it's break time.
All right.
We got to give everybody an opportunity to close their Google image searches and focus on the world of professional wrestling.
Juan's hooking me up. I got to tell you, he's good people, man. I got a twit pick and a half. It's great.
I'm waiting. Why has Juan not sent this to me?
Okay, let's just play the interview in context, and who was, you know, just played off as the dude sitting there staring at Google Images the whole time.
Okay, that's true. All right, I'll give you that one.
Even if that was what I was doing, we didn't have to imply that that's what I was doing. You know that, right?
That is, it's okay. I'm pretty sure I shared that same picture that Juan shared with you at some point in promoting her appearance on the show, because
fair enough.
What the listeners like. And
that's right. You are a man of the people.
We have to be. We have to be, Patrick O'Dowd. But it's break time, and so as tradition holds, you get to select the break song so that we can entertain the people, and you get to choose what the people will listen to over the course of the next, like 3.5 minutes.
We're gonna jump back in time because
it doesn't matter what you think.
I'm just kidding. I'm gonna play whatever song I want to. We'll be back on the Greg DeMarco.
DeMarco Show.
If you could be so kind as to just, you know, tuck Patrick O'Dowd in and wish him a good night.
Patrick, is someone tuckered out? Someone sleepy? You gotta go to bed? Huh?
I feel weird.
I was like, am I a puppy?
I feel it's more.
Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd.
Pippin' these hoes!
We are back here live on the Greg DeMarco Show with Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd. Patrick O'Dowd, I know what you were thinking as soon as I did that.
Really? 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 Really?
Weren't you?
You know, actually, I can't even be mad at you because I was so not ready for it. Like, like usually I can anticipate when you're going to do that and was not prepared. And
you're right.
So
it's hard to trick you at this point in time.
Well,
I mean,
we're 3 years into the game. Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. So, but, Patrick, we have a caller on the line, Patrick.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, we have a caller. Now, I could play this one of two ways. I could be like, oh, caller, what's your name and where are you coming from, Patrick O'Dowd? Or I can go with we're from this day forward, Patrick O'Dowd, we're going to call the Seth Rollins. You know what the Seth Rollins is?
What's the Seth Rollins?
Option B.
Thanks.
Should I play it fun, like we don't know who the caller is, or should I go with the Seth Rollins?
Well, I think you seem more enamored with the Seth Rollins move, so if that's where you're going. Yeah, oh no.
I'm going to go with option B.
We're beautiful and we wrestle.
That's right. If Juan, WWE, TNA didn't have enough of one show with Greg DeMarco Show with Renee Michelle, he now gets to hear the voice of Sue Young. Sue, welcome back. How are you doing?
I am dead.
I know. Would you have like 47 wrestling matches this weekend?
That's what it felt like. Oh my goodness.
Patrick, Sue might have competed in not only in a match on the internet pay-per-view that everyone can see at WWNLive.com for Shine Wrestling, but then she may have dominated a tournament in Austin, Texas.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hex yeah.
That's right. The queen of queens herself. The queen of queens herself. Sue,
I was looking forward to seeing some Harvey Hayden on that stuff, and I did not see her. Sadly enough, but
I don't know. She's in demand. She's the NWA World Women's Champion, and maybe she's running scared. I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, maybe she's ducking you. I don't know.
Well, there had to be a DeMarcus that definitely had to represent, and I had to do it.
And you didn't just represent. I mean, you represented in all representations.
In a huge way.
Every way possible. Yeah, there's...
Yeah, you know, I just got to say, regardless of where the rest of this conversation goes, Sue, it's just always good to hear your voice and it be like you actually talking as opposed to that awkward, I feel weird moment that we had when you first came on the show.
Yeah, I'm a little older now, so maybe it's that little sophistication in my... I don't know. I want to say I'm a cougar, but I'm really not.
You're not a cougar. By any stretch of the imagination.
And we should, of course, explain to the listeners who may not know what we're talking about. You are, in fact, 24 hours removed from Sue Young's birthday.
That is true.
Now, I'm halfway to 50.
Oh, Greg.
Still got a long way to go.
Because here's the thing is, like, I've now hit that age. I don't know if you've hit that age, Greg, where people far younger than me are now being like, I'm so old. And they're like,
I never said that.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm not saying you. You said you were halfway to 50. This isn't about you. I'm not calling you out. But you dropped that. You dropped that. I'm a cougar thing, which you're not there yet. You've got a little ways to go before you get that hit that digit.
Yeah. No. But I mean, like, I don't know how to explain that. I guess I think that it's just that another year. It's just like, I can feel it in my body, especially wrestling this past weekend. I just feel that way.
Yeah.
I'm not really that way. I just feel that way right now.
Well, and I can't blame you for that. I mean, you definitely have put yourself through, a tough ringer this past week. So it's not, you should feel every year of that quarter of a century.
Oh yeah. And I do, I swear I do. Oh my goodness! I'm like hibernating on my couch as we talk.
You're not like in a body cast, right?
I'm booking matches right now.
Nice.
That's what we're talking about. Always working. That's for now. Always.
Never give up. Is what is John Cena.
I just made like 9,212 FT. So we're bringing in the money, boys.
Woo!
We drew like 11,730 people. So we're doing good. We're doing good.
There you go.
Well played.
That's what we're talking about.
SIW SIP. Super Indie Pro. That's what we're calling it right now. So
SIP. Super Indie Pro. SIP.
That's what I'm doing for my birth week. I'm booking matches.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, you've got a lot.
Gotta get the pay window.
Got to manage the affairs of the Premier Athlete brand. You've got to bring the violent inspiration to Valkyrie. You've got a lot to do, Sue.
I'm a busy bee. That all happened. All of that didn't happen until I came on the Greg DeMarco show, and I had this fantastic conversation with you and Patrick. So, of course, I'm grateful of being DeMarcat. Always, 100%. Representing.
Oh. There's a lot of representing happening today.
There's been a lot of representing.
Oh man.
Wait, just a heads up right now. I love you guys very much. If my phone automatically goes beep, 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 or something like that, my phone died. So I'm sorry.
Oh, you and the phone thing.
It's always like, I'm starting to wonder if that's just not a convenient out. You know, like, I'll call when my battery's got 13% left. Let's throw a call to the DeMarco show.
Go down. Patrick,
nice try, though.
Oh, I did. Oh,
you can't do this young.
I didn't do it like that. I
put in.
look at you trying to win Sue back.
What? Oh, now you're turning on.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I have some decorum, please?
No, we can't. He's injured.
Oh.
I know, right?
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Terrible news for the Intercontinental title. That really made me sad when I heard that news.
Especially like, after your tie break 2 weeks ago.
And how are we determining the new champ? Battle
Shut up!
We're not talking about that right now.
No, the Intercontinental Championship is sacred.
Shut up!
He's back.
He is back. I was hoping you would actually keep going. It's like keep pressing the shut up button. Like
No, we've talked
about Shut up!
Sue, back me up here. Help me out here, Sue. Come on. Before your phone dies.
I can put on my white gloves.
That's the greatest answer ever, I think, right there.
It might be.
Like, Sue, back me up. I can put on my white gloves. Like, okay.
Oh, you guys didn't see Sean.
That's what you should say when you put on the white gloves. Tell everybody what the white glove meant, Shine.
The white glove is sort of like my secret. This is a secret, guys. No one knows this. It's my little secret homage to Mick Foley because he's a really big inspiration in my career right now. So
that actually makes perfect sense when
it
I
does,
think about
absolutely.
It.
It does,
absolutely.
Because
I saw
just,
pictures of what you, of you know, your look was a little different for you at Shine. You're definitely taking that. You're showing your talents in terms of character development and what you can do in so many different ways. And, you know, and the WWN Live promotions have given you that opportunity to do that. So Sue Young is spreading her creative wings, Patrick.
That's a, you know, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. We need more creativity, damn it.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it very much.
That's right. She's come a long way since developmental, all the way to here.
Going on real. Now I'm a queen. I'm a queen of queens.
Yes. The queen of queens. That's right.
The queen of queens, and in fact, we've got our buddy Juan trying to get you trending with a Hail Sue hashtag. So, you know,
right.
do your part, people.
Go on, people.
Right. Tweet the hell out of it.
Let's go, Twitterverse.
Yes. Do what you can do, people.
Also,
do what you
Marcus
can do.
Show
I got this one.
Behold the king. The king of kings.
We don't have anything with the queen, though.
Should I ask right now?
Don't.
Hey, you guys think AJ Styles versus Taka Michinoku is good? Main event match? I think that's pretty good.
I would watch it.
Yeah, I
Sweet.
Yeah, I have no problem with that match.
Book it.
I'm booking while we're still doing a radio interview right now.
This is outstanding. This is. Look, we're not even pulling the curtain back. We're allowing everyone to sit on the other side of the curtain. Is what we're doing.
Yeah,
we
pulled up a chair.
No one has anything. Wah-ha-ha. We're making the money.
That's right. Sip.
Right, super. Just, like, do my bidding.
Super indie pro. If you Patrick or Dad would probably do whatever you at requested.
It will. If Super Indie Pro ever runs, I definitely have the recap show with you and Patrick because you guys are way too good. Too good.
We need to be the recap. We would be the best commentary duo ever.
Yeah, well, I commentary, obviously, but you guys would definitely have your own recap show. It'd be awesome.
Could we have the sound bites during the commentary?
Sorry, Patrick.
Wow.
Could we have the sound bites during the commentary?
Yes. It has to be.
Just imagine right now, like, someone ducks under a super kick and hits a super kick.
You're welcome.
So I was thinking more along the lines of somebody botches a suplex off the top and you hit nice try, though.
Damn!
It would just be great. Like the thing. Or somebody walks away from
it. Anybody got time for that?
It would just be so.
In fact, you wouldn't actually have to talk. You could just play the sound bites. Like there'd be no need for anybody's voice. It would just be other people's voices as you're pushing the buttons.
Somebody come walk it out from behind the curtain. It would just be great. And of course, if someone's in the ring giving a long probe, we don't want to listen.
Would you shut the hell up?
I swear, if I see this idea anywhere, I'm going to be calling you guys up right away going, did you just see that what they just did, they just heard, they've been listening to Drake Marco's show, because there ain't no way.
Because that's how I roll.
This would be, there is actually a virtual pro wrestling company that's out there that's like, mm-hmm. all CGI and whatnot that I know somebody who's doing the commentary for, and it would be better if we were doing it. That's all. I'm not busting on them. I'm just saying it's entertaining, Patrick or Dowd.
We're nothing if not humble.
Don't do it like that, baby.
So Sue, what's coming up next for you? I know you're vegging on the couch. You probably want to get some rest. So tell the people what's coming up next before we let you go. You can break down Raw with us if you want to, but I know you've done a lot over the past couple days.
Oh,
did the phone die? Phone died. There it is. Caller has dropped.
What?
We But here's the thing. Had she not told us that, we would just be blaming the Blog Talk Radio like crazy
that's
right
true.
Now.
That's true.
Because that's what we do.
We do. We curse that British woman up and down.
We do. We're like that whore, which is funny because at some point here in the next month or so, we're going to have a British woman on the show. Maybe she can do Blog Talk Radio Lady impersonations.
Oh, that'd be so great.
Write that down.
You know, I think it would have been funny for you to try to swerve people in believing that we had the Blog Talk Radio Lady as a guest on the show.
They won't remember. It's like a month from now. It'll be fine. Juan WBTNA, remind me in a month to do this. He's like the official showrunner now.
And the whole interview, Greg, the whole interview should just be the two of us yelling at the Blog Talk Lady. Like, why does your company, why does it drop calls? What's up with the sound box? Why do you interrupt us at the end of the show? Why can't you be nice?
That would be amazing. What's funny is that the people who are laughing the hardest right now are those who have shows on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
Those are the ones who are just loving everything.
Yeah, those of you that only hear your show will go live can know what we're talking about.
Your show will go live in 5 seconds. Yeah, it's a thing of...
And then seven seconds later, your show starts.
Oh, literally, like, I'm telling you, you are bringing the Blog Talk Radio community together right now. By the way, Patrick, get out. We had Renee Michelle.
She's just so, so pretty.
We had Sue Young.
She's just so, so pretty.
And much just people are just stuck with us. That's
kind of
how you ain't on the list, bro.
And but I got to tell you, we got some DeMarquette action on the show today, and that's always a plus because you know not on the schedule.
No,
so
of course
always,
not.
Always it's, nice. Always a pleasant surprise.
It is. It is always a pleasant surprise. Taking time out of the busy schedule while she's booking matches like AJ Styles versus Taka Michinoku, because that's what Sue Young does.
You heard it here first, kids.
That's right. You heard it here first. So, and we stumbled upon a great idea, which is soundbite commentary. Which, cause, you know,
I think it's the wave of the future. I mean, really, if you look at it, it can't be any worse than the current, you know, commentary team on Raw.
That's true. That's true.
And I'm awesome!
So we are officially 35 minutes behind schedule on the program.
Which is good.
Here.
Which is fine.
Renee Michelle ran long, and then, of course, we were paid a visit by Sue Young. But we are going to roll on. We have a lot of wrestling talk. Let's do this, Patrick O'Dowd. Let's do... No. I'm gonna stick to it a little bit because I do want to make sure we talk some wrestling. So I don't know if you heard Patrick O'Dowd, but John Cena might be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion once again.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, and let's just say like the people are not necessarily happy about this.
Yeah. Well, and. It's tough because I did not pick John Cena to win. In fact, my money in the bank. Yeah, I'd like to throw that pay per view out. I did not do so great.
You may not have at all.
Yeah. It happens to all of us.
Yeah.
But I count me amongst the people that aren't happy because. And I'm sure we can delve into a lot of why fans are upset. For me, it's very much the more things change, the more they stay right the same and stay on target. Which doesn't surprise me because of what we've talked about it on the show previously. Like I've long said that John Cena wasn't going anywhere anytime soon. So another world title run or whatever doesn't necessarily surprise me.
No, it doesn't. And I'll tell you what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick O'Dowd.
It doesn't matter what you think.
Well, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what anyone mm-hmm. thinks because long term, I think this was actually the right decision to make. I really
yeah.
do because if you've got, you know, obviously some things changed due to injury. For all we know, Seth Rollins wasn't supposed to be the briefcase holder, although given the booking, he probably was. Going to be the briefcase holder. And which had Wade Barrett not been injured, how would people be reacting to Seth Rollins winning the briefcase? Would they still feel the same way about it, or would there be more complaining because everyone kind of thought Wade Barrett was going to win the briefcase? Like, what do you think? Do you think that the reactions would be different?
I don't know, because I kind of am with you. I don't know that Wade Barrett was ever the one to win the match. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's a what if that you can't afford to argue about, because we don't know, and he was hurt.
Right.
I
was completely wrong. It's not option B. It's plan B.
Yeah, it's plan B. It's all right.
Austin Aries is option C. Seth Rollins, plan B. My bad.
It's a lot of different noise to talk about very similar things. I think that, yeah, people were really high on this idea of Wade Barrett winning the Money in the Bank ladder match and getting that title shot. I don't know that that was ever the plan. Just, by virtue of having a belt, it almost makes you more likely to not win that match anyway. Even if it is the lowly, quote-unquote, Intercontinental title or U.S. title.
Oh, there you go again.
I'm not even going after it. But it is the truth. Like, you've got the gold around your waist, and so they don't – like, when's the last time that either one of those champions were truly the number one contender or a contender for the World Heavyweight Championship? Like, it just doesn't –
Yeah, I can't even say when they were a true top contender.
And once upon a time, that used to be what it was. But even then it was, but it wasn't. So, but that's a different discussion for a different time. I think that Daniel Bryan getting hurt, and leading to where we've meandered to with John Cena being the champion, it does do a couple of good things for whoever eventually unseats him. John Cena is an old reliable, for better or for worse, and so you know what you have in John Cena. You know what kind of reaction you're going to get for John Cena. You know what kind of draw he is. He's proven, and you know, if the WWE uses this as an opportunity to elevate one of those guys who, frankly, I think you said it best last week, probably weren't ready to have that title run unless it was Bray Wyatt. This probably turns out to be a good thing if one of those guys then ends up being the one who goes on a run and beats him, or a Seth Rollins, though I don't like the cash-in victory because I do think it sort of cheapens the title win.
Right.
But, you know, if that's where it goes, then it's not a bad thing.
People are going to hate – well, here's the thing about Seth Rollins in the briefcase. Mm-hmm. Looking at the timeline – unless he doesn't cash in for a really long time, I'm a little concerned with if he can cash in successfully. Because, John, we've got the Fatal 4-Way match, main eventing, Battleground with Randy Orton, Kane, and Roman Reigns, along with John Cena. And they keep talking about option B, and of course, the popular train of thought right now is that option B is not Seth Rollins in the briefcase, but Brock Lesnar. So let's just say Brock Lesnar wrestles John Cena at SummerSlam, and let's just say that Brock Lesnar wins. That one of the rumored things, of course, Brock Lesnar getting the belt, and you know, from John Cena at SummerSlam. Why in the world would Seth Rollins cash in on Brock Lesnar at any point? Then we need Lesnar to lose the belt before Rollins cashes in again. Maybe we finally get the WrestleMania cash in that we've never had in the 9 years of Money in the Bank.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, the other possibility is that they offshoot the belt really fast, hot shotted away after the Fatal 4-Way. Like, John Cena goes through everything.
Right.
Like, I don't think that's going to happen by any means. Because
I agree with you.
I don't buy it. And kudos to our good friend Steve Cook for pulling that one out, and noting that Ambrose is going to start stopping cash-ins. I think that that's really where the feud for Seth Rollins is going to lie for the foreseeable future. And maybe it does end up being a fight over the briefcase, though. Again, we've got sort of a crazy don't care situation right now with Ambrose. To where it's not about a briefcase or titles, it's about getting at Seth Rollins.
If it's a fight over the briefcase, then this is a really long feud, because you're right. Crazy don't care, and it takes a while before Crazy does care, because that is sort of the ultimate way for Crazy to get at Seth Rollins, is to take the briefcase away from him, but you can't do that
but
right
away. But it might
away.
Be, yeah, you can't do that tomorrow. Yeah, by
and
any means.
Usually the briefcase is only defended in a ladder match, and they probably won't have more of those until, say, TLC, because just the time.
Why would you? Yep.
Exactly. I mean, then you overdo it. Although they could easily throw one out there on Raw or something like that,
yeah,
which really allow those guys to take off. But Rollins doing good stuff. I mean, I love Seth Rollins, the promo work he's been doing, everything. Dean Ambrose is nothing short of amazing in the stuff that he's been doing. And Roman Reigns, I feel like he's had to do less because he's been working with more people, but he's still making the most of what he's been given. Like, all three, this breakup is going okay.
Yeah, and I think that I'm pretty close to walking back on my feelings when they broke up in the first place, about wondering, like, I was really worried, honestly, that of the three, Ambrose was going to then become the one that was left behind. I think that the booking and Ambrose's work has done a very, very good job of keeping us invested in a way that really made him relevant. Because it could have been very easy for them to push Roman Reigns to the moon and forget about both Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, but particularly Dean, just because they instantly connected Seth with Triple H. And
right.
So, boom, like you're golden for a while.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose, it really came, like it could. I could see it being one of those things. Like I could have seen it going in the direction of, oh my God, people are really behind him for a while, and then the WWE just sort of quietly de-pushes them, and Seth Rollins like beats him down, and then we never hear from him again except at the lower card level. And so I'm happy so far with where this is going, because it does really look like, for as much as we want to criticize what's going on with John Cena being the World Heavyweight Champion, they're still making good on this commitment that's taking place for new talent to be top talent.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they have really, I don't know if they planned this when they brought the Shield up, that these three guys were going to be the guys. It's hard to imagine that they did, because you just never know. But the way these guys have performed, the way the people have latched on to them, they definitely do. I think making Seth Rollins sort of the quote-unquote chosen one by Triple H was the smartest thing to do, because Roman Reigns seemed like a slam dunk. And Dean Ambrose showed flashes of greatness before breaking up with the Shield. And Rollins was always the guy that people were worried about. So you took the guy that people were worried about, and you kind of did the most work to get him over and to get him heat. And it worked. I mean, he gets real legit heat when he's out there. I love the attitude he shows in his promos. The in-ring interview
he did.
He's
got a good smirk.
Yeah, he does. He's got a good smirk. He's got a good attitude. I was trying to place it. When I was watching Raw on Monday, I was like, oh, there might be a little Shawn Michaels or somebody else, and I realized, it's not anybody. It's just Seth Rollins, and that's all it needs to be. And so I think that they've really got these guys in a good place, and the future definitely looks bright. And there's plenty of time, as Patrick O'Dowd has pointed out time and time again, because the John Cena's, the Randy Orton's of the world ain't going anywhere for quite some time. So, and I love John Cena's reaction to the internet's reaction. Like, he flat out put it on Twitter, like fire up the hate machine, the champ is here. Like, that's,
Well, I mean, the best way to handle it is to embrace it. And I think that, it's very easy for the hate machine to use his words, to not look at the bigger picture. Like, I think that's something that happens all the time, is that there is a lot of narrow thinking that goes on. There's a lot of legitimacy that can be built with John Cena as your champion. And even if it is that he, loses the title to Brock Lesnar, and that's the direction we go, I think Brock Lesnar as the WWE champ would be a pretty big deal, and an exciting deal as well, that people could get behind. But do you want to see Brock Lesnar win the title from a young up-and-comer, or do you want it to be from somebody who, like, Brock Lesnar's sort of shtick these days has been about tearing down, established you know, the best of the best out of the established WWE. I mean, he's defeated he's defeated Taker, he's defeated Triple H, he's defeated John Cena. Or no, he hasn't defeated John Cena. Right?
No.
Yeah.
No, no, I don't think so.
Do they each have a win? I can't even remember. I know he and Triple H have split. But anyway, the point being here is that's kind of become his MO. I mean, now that, especially with Heyman stressing the fact that Lesnar ended the streak, like, it's very much what
right.
he's been doing. It does make a lot of sense despite the Brock Lesnar Triple H match and that whole deal. Let's be okay with it. Let's get it done, especially if it turns into something bigger and better for the company overall.
Yeah. In this run, it is John Cena 1, Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar 0.
But it goes back to, you know, Backlash 2003 when,
yep.
when you know, John Cena. Because as the readers at 400 Mania were nice enough to point out to me oh so many years ago, John Cena was at one point his career a heel. And in which, you know, I talked about him being a lifelong face because you know,
yeah.
that John Cena really made a huge difference in the John Cena that we have today. But that's neither here nor there. But there was a match. It was kind of John Cena's first big thing that he did in the WWE for a while there. But obviously very different John Cena now and very different results in how those matches come together. So it would be, I mean, I could see them putting Cena over Lesnar at SummerSlam and keeping the belt on him for a while, especially if Lesnar's then going to disappear.
Yep.
Because as much as they've done with this championship over the past 12 months, between it being held in abeyance and all these reversals to Daniel Bryan
just
having to give it
up. All the time.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing you need is for Brock Lesnar to win the damn thing and go away.
Yep.
So I don't know if we would see that happen, per se. So it's going to be interesting to see. Maybe they don't even go with Cena versus Lesnar. Maybe that whole thing is a diversion. I don't know. I really don't know. But Patrick Riddell, I wanted to present to you a scenario. Based on what I saw during the opening segment, and I even put this out on the Twitter after the opening segment of Raw last night, I know it didn't get the best reception when they did it WrestleMania several years ago, but could we possibly see John Cena versus Triple H like a WrestleMania 31 showdown between those two?
I mean, I think it's possible. I don't know how likely it is. I love that one poor match then suddenly makes everybody decide that we can never pair people up again because all they're ever going to do is bad matches. I think if you tell a compelling story, the match will take care of itself. And they're both, you know, total pros. So I don't have a problem with it. That's just me though.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get what you're saying. I think, you know, having seen kind of their little interaction, a lot has changed since they faced each other at WrestleMania before, even though that was kind of the debut of the Barbarian look for Triple H and sort of him sitting on the throne, and he went way over the top with it at WrestleMania 30. Given it would not fall, hopefully, in the championship, you know, position of the card, but the special attraction position of the card, especially if the Undertaker can't go, and that kind of sits in the Undertaker spot on
yep.
the show, I'd be perfectly fine with it. In fact, I would enjoy it. I would welcome
yeah.
that match at WrestleMania because say what you want. If you look back at the past few years of WrestleManias, Triple H has delivered whenever he's been in the ring. And I know that he and John Cena would put on a perfectly good show. And it's been a pretty long time since we've seen that match between those two gentlemen. So I would be 100% down with that. So let's take a break from the John Cena Raw discussion, and we'll talk about some more of that stuff later, Patrick O'Dowd, because it is time for you and I to sort through the news in the world of professional wrestling. That's right. It's time for Patrick O'Dowd's favorite theme song as part of the Greg DeMarco Show. As I have to find it. Oh, there it is. It's time to talk.
Patrick, this is Leigh Emery, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
Oh, no, the snow bullshit, 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 bullshit.
The wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd's bullshit internet report of the week.
All right, partner, take it away.
All right, you know, I joked like 4 or 5 days ago. I was like, "Oh, Greg, there's not a lot of bullshit to talk about." And then, like, all kinds of bullshit came out. We'll start with one that came out just in front of Money in the Bank from our good friends over at the Wrestling Observer. They just noted that because of the poster, .. is the lead-in that I saw here. But as previously reported, a poster leaked on Amazon a few days ago featuring the poster for SummerSlam with John Cena and Brock Lesnar on it, which would seemingly have given away that Cena was likely to win. After the poster was taken down, the poster was taken down, a news blast was sent out, including the poster. There is reportedly a good chance that the finish will be changed. The original plan as of over a week ago was to have Cena win. It's worth noting that the report says that Lesnar versus Cena is still likely to headline SummerSlam and may still be for the title. So this ending, because of a poster that showed up on the interwebs,
right,
meant that John Cena was definitely going to win. But because the poster showed up on the interwebs, we're not going to have Cena win. But the original plan was to have Cena win, so we're still going to go with the SummerSlam main event from the poster.
Maybe.
And maybe still for the title, because Cena might win, but he might not. Like, it's just an ultimate in covering your ass. And oddly enough, out of the whole deal, yeah, Cena did end up winning the match. So the parts of the story then get to ring true.
Exactly. Like, you can't go back and be like, well, you were right because you were. Well, you were wrong because you were. It's just more.
It's a total wash. Total wash.
Which was the intention from the beginning.
Yep. So classic bullshit, good stuff to read. But I'm more excited about this next one.
Yeah, I love this.
I should say these next two. So within hours of each other. No, I'm getting to your favorite ones third.
I'm still excited about this one.
Yes. So I as I'm sifting through the bullshit F4W via our good friends at WrestleZone. We get this report that F4W Online reports that the Money in the Bank pre-show will feature Daniel Bryan as a hook to get viewers to subscribe to the WWE Network or buy the pay-per-view while watching the pre-show on WWE.com or Facebook. WWE reportedly sees Bryan as a superstar who can sell pay-per-view events and possibly set up an angle for later in the night. So we get that.
Right.
And you know, I'm like, it's one of those, like, sure, maybe it's plausible, but, you know, you're bullshitting out there. Later, literally, shortly later, by like 14 hours, we get this report from our good friends at PW Insider via WrestleZone reporting that the feeling backstage amongst the wrestlers is that WWE officials are not in any hurry to bring Daniel Bryan back into the main event scene when he returns, noting that top-level guys like John Cena and Triple H would never be brought back just to appear on a pay-per-view pre-show. Some WWE officials apparently believe that Bryan's bubble has popped and that he got injured when the WWE needed him the most. This has made some officials hesitant to throw him back in the main event scene when he returns. Many point to the fact that Bryan was originally scheduled to face Sheamus at WrestleMania and was only pushed because CM Punk quit. So I go to one of my favorite movies of all time is a baseball movie called 61. It's about Mickey Mantle. And at one point, Mickey Mantle is looking at two different reporters. And he looks at one and he's like, I don't know how to, you know, you guys need to get together and tell me how to play, because one of them says I'm washed up and the other one says I can't lose. That's exactly what we got here. We got two different reports. One saying that, you know, the WWE officials are high on Daniel Bryan and he's a guy who's going to put butts on the seats and sell pay-per-views, and then you've got another one that's like, yeah, he's not worth, his time has passed. The WWE no longer sees him as the main event guy. So
that's right. He got lucky. He
got lucky. And then you really look at you look at how the way this is reported about this idea in the second report about we're hesitant to throw him back into the main event scene because he got hurt as if he somehow screwed the company over by getting injured. Like what? Like Triple H didn't tear his quad and be out for months on end? like that didn't happen? Like John Cena, who let's admittedly recognize seems to have a miracle in ability to heal himself from injury, hasn't experienced, you know, very significant injuries while being a champion or, you know, in the hunt for a title that's had to derail and throw off storylines. Like, come on. That's insane. That's ludicrous. Edge has never been hurt. And the thing is Daniel Bryan, this is his first real injury. Like, his first real significant injury. And, yes, it's concerning. And, yes, it sounds like it's going to take longer for him to recover than what it needs to. But to sit there and say that this injury is why suddenly the WWE would not believe in him or that he somehow screwed the company, like, as if he hurt himself intentionally, is insane, especially when you look at, like, I actually tend to believe the first report. You don't continue to market the guy. You don't continue to talk about him on pay-per-view and get a reaction or on Raw and get a reaction from the crowd if you didn't believe in where he can be in the company and what he can do and what his value is. They recognize his value, or they wouldn't keep talking about him. They wouldn't do it.
Yeah, he's obviously valuable to the company because they keep – he's like, he would have disappeared and never been seen from again until it was time for the surprise return. But that's not what they do. Plus, it's a different era. Like if they had the WWE Network and they had all these other multimedia outlets that they're worried about, Triple H wouldn't have disappeared during his, you know, recovery. John Cena wouldn't have disappeared during his recovery for the surprise Royal Rumble return. It would have been a bigger part because they have a different type of promotion now.
Yeah.
They do
And even with Triple H, dude, with Triple H, they did film footage of his recovery
of
and meeting with his doctors and with his physical therapy. Like, when the WWE gets behind you and they are convinced that you have value and that you are a draw, they're not going to free. Stephanie McMahon runs down Daniel Bryan once a week. Period.
Still.
Once a week.
He's not there.
Still. He's been injured for over a month now, and every week she has dropped his name and talked about how he's the B-plus guy who couldn't get it done. This is a story that is going to pay off if Bryan's career can continue.
Of course, and they would not have had him defeat Triple H, Randy Orton, and Batista all in one night, all the members of Evolution in one night at WrestleMania if they didn't believe in the guy.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, the second report is one of those reports that I feel is put out there because it plays on the IWC's biggest fears about one of their favorite sons.
And
that's what it is.
Well, here's the thing. F4W had the first report that
–
you know, Daniel Bryan was on there to increase the pay-per-view buys because they see him as a superstar who can sell pay-per-view events. PW Insider then came out with their report, 14 hours, doing the direct opposite. This happens all the time. These two sites do this all the time, where one will report something and then the other will report the direct opposite because one of them is probably going to be right. And then they get to say – they probably sit there and laugh together at all of this.
Yes, they're like Statler and Waldorf.
Exactly.
On the Muppet,
it's and we buy it all. Hook,
these
line,
morons bought it.
Patrick O'Dowd, please do the next one. I'm so excited about the next one.
I almost don't feel like I should report this one. I really feel like this is your baby. I mean, you took this thing to Twitter. You took this thing to all. You took our good friends at WrestleZone to task.
Well, I kept the screenshot because it doesn't exist anymore, but I kept the screenshot, so I will. There was a report And the heading was from our good friend Josh Eisenberg over at WrestleZone.com. The WWE is announcing a major signing next month. There's a Bret Hart note and the top battleground matches that were advertised locally in Tampa. Of course, the major international star is Kenta. The battleground matches that were leaked were Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns, obviously not happening, and Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins probably is happening. But then in the middle, there was a Bret Hart note that said Bret Hart and his wife were backstage last night at the WWE live event in Calgary. He was not used on the show and was just backstage visiting friends. Last night was Friday night, June 27th, 2014. That is the night that Bret Hart was backstage in Calgary. But there's a little problem with that report, Patrick O'Dowd.
Why, Greg, what would that problem be?
The WWE's house show in Calgary hasn't happened yet. Because
what?
The WWE's house show in Calgary is taking place on Sunday, July 27th. So we're reporting that Bret Hart appeared at a house show that doesn't exist. So my question to you is this, Patrick O'Dowd. What source could this have possibly been attributed to? Because remember, this is WrestleZone. They're on the inside. They don't have sources. They are sources.
Well, they're so far inside that they can see the future.
Exactly.
And can travel in time. And honestly, Greg, I got to say, this particular report almost makes me feel like we need to end the segment, because I feel like, you know, you can slam the Bible shut and be like, we rest our case, Your Honor.
We
like,
found
we're
the
done.
Holy Grail.
Like, this
we
is the holy grail holy of grail. Bullshit
so
on the internet.
Reporting. It pretty much is the holy grail. Like, we found it. And here's the part that made me sad. You know, I felt really bad. Jeffrey Harris, who reports news for 411 Mania, look, his job is to basically go out there and report on every single news bite that he finds. That's his job. He was doing his job. He put that out there. He reported it. He did his job. I'm sending this guy a message on Facebook. I'm like, dude, about that report you put up, you may want to do something with that, because that house show hasn't happened yet. It's a month from now. And so he deleted it. And WrestleZone deleted their report as well. I kind of wish he kept it up and would have said, you know, update or correction, and then pointed out, you know, hey, WrestleZone's reporting this. However, we know that the house show hasn't taken place, so please take this news with a grain. Just something to stick it to him and leave it up there permanently.
Yeah. That is kind of the delicate challenge of being a part of an aggregate website, though. That relies on these I don't know, like, it's not like, what are they going to pull their funding, I don't quite get it, but I also see the other side of it, you've been in part of this rigmarole too of sort of trying to make good by the people you work with, or the,
I'll be honest
the
with you, there's no need to make good with WrestleZone. I understand the insider, and I understand the observer, because that's where most of the news comes from. But even in the commenting on Facebook, when I took this to Facebook and showed everybody, because I knew it was going to get taken down eventually, they were even on there talking about how the things that were said, the things that were done, and how hard it is to do this. But I don't want anyone to defend them, to come to their defense whatsoever, because the things they do are indefensible, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's
no
that
reason to defend
like,
these guys.
How do you not fact check? Like, seriously, how do you not fact check? Like, how are you so incompetent you can't follow a schedule and read?
Right. Like, which tells me, like I think there's a calendar, and I think they literally try to plan their BS in advance. And I think someone just miswrote June for July.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is it's such an easy BS. It's such a, again, you know, the key to writing good bullshit, friends, and I don't know why we've gone PG for today's show. But the key to writing good bullshit is to have plausibility. It's absolutely plausible that Bret Hart might go to a house show in Calgary.
Of course it is.
Absolutely. So when I see that, I'm absolutely going to read that and be like, oh, that's nice. And this is the other thing. It's like that particular news bit, like, is completely worthless, like, as a news bit on its own. Like, What are you as an as a person going to a website? What are you doing with that information? Like, what are you gonna go? You gonna go tell your friends at the cafeteria? Well, you know, there was a house show in Calgary, and I heard Bret Hart was there. It was pretty boss. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're not doing that. You like, and so to get busted on what I would say is a throwaway news bit, it makes it doubly funny to me. Because it's not like you had something that broke that would like change wrestling or really get the internet really roaring and going, but it does make it just, you got your caught with your pants down, and that's beautiful.
Well, and they deserve it. But of course you're going to get caught on that type of BS. Like, you're not going to get caught on something good. You're not going to get caught on you know, a big report, because they spend the time on the big reports to do that kind of reverse reporting that, you know, this could still happen, that could still happen. But it's the throwaway, post-it, never thinking about it again. That's where someone realizes, well, wait a minute.
Oh, go ahead.
No, and that's where someone says, hey, wait a minute, this is wrong, which their readers were doing. Their readers were carrying them in the comment section.
I would point out that we just did go through two other pieces of bullshit where we pointed out two completely different stories basically posted within hours of each other, showing that even their like sort of insidery news like can quickly be proven to be bullshit because it's no position. It's both positions as opposed to any position. So, Yeah, I mean, they're going to try to cover their tracks, but even when they cover their tracks, sometimes they do a poor job. Finally, because we do like to acknowledge when we call bullshit and it's not really bullshit, there was a report that came out from the PW Insider based on a WWE.com posting that announced a former WWE champion is returning on Raw. The article seems to be teasing the return of Brock Lesnar. It describes the person as a cross-platform entertainer who has found numerous successes outside of the squared circle. Lesnar is slated to return at SummerSlam, so it would make sense, of course. It would also refer to The Rock, Steve Austin, or several others, including Chris Jericho. It was then updated a little bit later with PW Insider reporting that Chris Jericho will be the returning WWE champion for Raw tonight. Jericho's role is not known, although he is also set for the SmackDown tapings tomorrow. I will own 100% that the second The Miz walked out for this segment, I started crowing and celebrating and was like, ha-ha! It has been
I was doing
wrong.
It beforehand. I was tweeting all over the place. I was like the fans are saying it's Jericho, and I'm excited that it's The Miz because, you know, I actually am a fan of The Miz and feel as though he gets underutilized. And technically, The Miz was the cross-brand, the cross-media guy they introduced. Jericho then interrupted him. So,
yes.
But look, the reports were right. The Jericho reports were correct.
Yes, and so congratulations, Insider. You win. My bullshit detector was falsified at that point.
And props to Mike Johnson of PW Insider for then taking it to social media and basically pulling a John Cena when the internet rips on him. And to sum up what Mike Johnson said in his Facebook post, I can sum up what he said in one simple word. Ha! That's what he said. Basically, he was like, to all of you, I think he might have even said to all of you who called bullshit on us, you know, because they got it right. And, hey, they deserve, you know, to the victor go the spoil.
Exactly. I mean, the sun does shine on a dog's ass every now and then.
That's right. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut. Yes.
Hell yeah. So congratulations.
Any other cliche that we can find out.
We'll,
good job,
we'll PW. We'll catch you next week, PW.
There's no drum roll because the obvious winner here is WrestleZone. I mean,
you
so blatantly made something up that you had to take it down yourself and pretend it never happened. Like, you couldn't even spin it any other way. It's just not even possible. So there is no there's no anything whatsoever. Let's talk about the Hall of Fame.
Let's do it. We'll
Patrick Dowd were evaluating. A segment that we like to call Hall of Fame or No. Those are simple, referring to the WWE Hall of Fame. It's otherwise noted, which probably never happened because it's almost way. Any mainstream big-time wrestling company. Like if we were to talk Val Venus, you know, maybe people indie spots, that's okay. But it has to be somebody who's inactive. Hall of Fame. Here's around what was originally planned, so we can always do that person later. To give someone more topical, as two Monday nights ago, a little over a week ago, we did say goodbye to one Vicky Guerrero. And so here tonight, we're making the determination, after a 9-year run in the WWE as a general manager, I believe she held the Divas title at one point, at WrestleMania, she's dated Edge on television, she's dated Ziggler on television. She is the wife of the late Eddie Guerrero. Is Vicky Guerrero a Hall of Fame? Vicky Guerrero, Hall of Fame or not?
Oh, boy. I think we got to work on the rules because I want to be like maybe. Here's the thing. There's no denying that she's not there. There's no denying she's been a significant part of WWE programming almost from the moment she was brought on as any sort of on-air character or personality. I don't know that I would necessarily say that she's a Hall of Famer because when it comes to and maybe it's just me being biased about like my feelings about her character. She was a great heat magnet. She did most of the time play the, you know, evil general manager who, you know, with her whole cougar gimmick. Oh, sorry, I got a little frog there. Her whole cougar gimmick and trying to like cling herself to whatever, you know, the next hot commodity wrestler was a lot of fun. Do I think it's necessarily Hall of Fame? Not anytime soon, I would say by any means, but maybe as, you know, the last inductee of a class 7 years from now, 10 years from now, I guess, but I would not put her in.
So it's a no
for me,
Patrick O'Dowd.
Yeah,
it's a yes for me. I 100% do believe that Vicky Guerrero should and will be put into the WWE Hall of Fame. I think that her 9-year run, she's been on TV most of the time. She when she was paired with people like Edge, Dolph Ziggler, she made them better. She made them more over. She's been on every single show. She literally was a heat magnet. It was not the wrong kind of heat either. Like people, they would boo to the point where you couldn't hear her, and she's loud. It's not like she's soft-spoken. She's a loud woman, and she just, you know, she got her job because her husband passed away, and they felt bad, and so they gave her a job, and she took that, and she became not a household name, but one step under a household name in terms of the WWE. People know who Vicky Guerrero is. And then she left on her own terms. I mean, she left, you know, all the reports are that she had a lot of input on how she went out. So say what you want to say about how she went out, she kind of got to go out the way she wants to. So good for her in that respect. And for me, I guess I kind of evaluate it as it's one half should they go in and one half will they go in. And I undoubtedly believe she will go in. I don't think it'll be the end of a class 7 years from now. I think it'll be the middle of a class within the next 3 years. I don't think they wait. I think the longer they wait, the worse it is for Vicky Guerrero. I think inducting Vicky Guerrero in 7 years does them nothing. She won't look the same anymore. She won't elicit the same response. I think she goes in sooner rather than later. And I think that, you know, to me,
I feel you overvalue her value, but that's okay. That's
maybe
why
I
we
do.
Have this discussion. I just like, yeah, she ran the same shtick, and I'm not saying that she wasn't entertaining. I'm not saying like, And for me, I do very much look at this. I look at this as to whether or not I feel they're a Hall of Fame or not, whether or not they will get into the Hall of Fame, which is where I think that a lot of times you and I will disagree, because I think you tend to lean more towards whether they will, and I'm more towards whether they should. I think that to say that she elevated Edge is kind of I don't buy that at all. I can agree with the Dolph Ziggler one, but really, where's that gotten Dolph? Like, what's he doing now?
True.
That's for me. Again, I think that she was at her best when she was playing that suck-up heel general manager that, you know, was sort of wielding her power around like a paintbrush until Mr. McMahon showed up, and then she became very like docile and scared of her own shadow. Do I think that's Hall of Fame? I don't, but what do we care? It's not a real Hall of Fame anyway, right?
Exactly. But yet it sure does elicit a lot of discussion and a ton of response when
we're
the topic.
We're like the Siskel and Ebert of this stuff, Roz. I'm just saying right now.
That's why like it. That's what people like about it. I will say this. We need to have there needs to be one more official rule for Hall of Fame when discussing whether or not someone will go in, whether or not someone deserves to go in. You can't, under any circumstances, invoke a comparison to Coco Beware.
Oh no, I refuse to do that. Like,
I hate the Coco Beware argument, because utilizing the Coco Beware argument, 50% of anyone who's ever been in the WWE should go into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, and it's so fascinating. Poor Coco. I really genuinely mean this. I feel like because there seems to be this. There's this resentment as if a mid-carder or a lower-carder, you know, wrestler should never have the ability to be in. Because here's the thing, dude. I think, like, to go back to where we started in our interview earlier today with Renee, like, you know, I'm not, like, you know, and I hope everybody else, Dwayne Gill, I would put Dwayne Gill in the Hall of Fame in a heartbeat, no other reason, because I think that people don't recognize how important, especially in the 80s, that the role that he played and that Barry Horowitz played, or, you know, if you want to go back even further, Bugsy McGraw played, or any number, Jim Powers, any number of guys that we would call quote-unquote jobbers, Mike Sharp. Like Iron Mark Sharp, like these guys – like their whole job, and if you were to ask any of them, and half the Armstrong family, they lose all the time. Their whole job is to make that other guy look great, and you know, and some of them did that so much better. And Dwayne Gill did it in such an underdog sort of way, because you look at him, like you know, Gilbert or otherwise, even before Gilbert. Like, my favorite picture of him is he's got the Hulk Hogan hair and a hideous mustache, and he's just this scrawny little dude holding his arms up like he's gonna win something big, and you just know it's like, buddy, you backed the wrong horse today. You know, get ready to get beat down. And that was, you know, that was his role, and he would have like a 2 second hope spot before Papa Shango would just drop the hammer on him,
right,
or whoever, and that's okay, and those people are important to the business too. And so, you know, when, as you listen to, you know, Greg and I talk about whether or not somebody belongs in the Hall of Fame, it's always going to be subjective. And so to point out, like, in any Hall of Fame is subjective. Like, nobody, there's no criteria that says you got to do this, and this to get in the Hall of Fame. So for me, you know, if the WWE says Coco Beware is a Hall of Famer, then you know what? He's a Hall of Famer. And so that argument, you can't take that away from him, and fuck any of you for doing it.
We can't take it away from Coco. We can take it away from this segment, and we will not, because
no,
I don't believe
do
it. By the way, on his Wikipedia page, it's literally detailed the matches that Iron Mike Sharp won.
Oh, nice.
Like, in 1984, he defeated Blair, Billy Travis, Chief J. Strongbow, and SD Jones. And it lists 84 to 88 the matches that he won,
and
mostly
at
house shows.
Yeah, and let's remind everybody that the kind of the godfather of all jobbers, SD Jones, such a great guy.
Jobs.
9 seconds.
Jobs. Well, and time it. It's like 20 seconds.
It is like 20 seconds, but come on. You know the WWE likes that number. We try to create stats for something that don't need stats.
We do. We definitely do. It's funny, though, to look like I remember seeing Iron Mike Sharp win matches, even on television. Like, occasionally he would get a win on television. Because he would get more offense in during a match. I mean, that was sort of the jobber that was used to somewhat put a guy over.
Yeah. Well, and people seem to forget, like, Mike Sharp was kind of a big deal outside of the WWE. Like, he was in World Class, I think, and he was all over the place. It was legit. Like, he was a tough guy, and not that he wasn't a tough guy in the WWE, but he was just always used as a jobber for some reason at that company, and that's, you know, and how they saw fit to use him, and he did his role quite well.
It'd be the equivalent of them taking like a Ring of Honor guy and using him as nothing but a jobber, and that guy still working in Ring of Honor and just never becoming anything. Like Roderick Strong, he shows up on WWE, he's a jobber, goes back to the Indies where he's a star, comes on TV, jobber, and back then no one had a problem. 1988 was one of the early King of the Rings. It was, you know, filmed for video and not shown on TV.
That'd be the first King of the Ring, by the way.
He reached the second round. He won a match in the King of the Ring tournament in 1988. He beat Boris Zukov. It was not the first. It was the fourth King of the Ring.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking Royal Rumbles. My bad.
No, it's okay. You're good. Yeah, he reached the second round, at which point he then lost to the Red Rooster, who then lost to Randy Savage, who then lost in the finals, Patrick O'Dowd, in the finals of the 1988 King of the Ring via countout. So the finals ended in a countout. Imagine the reaction today if this were to happen. So the Macho Man Randy Savage lost in the finals of the 1988 King of the Ring.
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's gonna pay.
Shut up!
The talk radio is really small.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I gotta say, I'm just happy to know that he won something. Like, he never won a title, but damn it. He never won a singles title.
That's right.
In WWE. He was part of one of the great tag teams in WWE history, and I'm not even joking about that. Speaking of guys who I would think are Hall of Famers, Mike Rotunda.
I would have loved to have gone to these shows because here we had literally a 16-man tournament. So that's 15 matches, okay? 15 matches, and there was also a flag match between Jim Duggan and so 16 matches took place in one night on this show. The next year, there were 2 years later, 1991, and all these things took place in Providence, Rhode Island. There were two non-tournament matches that took place, including a tag team match between the Beverly Brothers and the Bushwhackers. Like, this is just amazing.
You know what's funny? I think the Beverly Brothers and
of
the Bushwhackers.
King of the Ring.
Oh, sorry, what's that?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say,
the finals of the 1980s, Tito Santana over Rick Bell.
And see, that's the way it should be, right there.
Of course.
On a side note, I was just going to point out, I think the Beverly Brothers and the Bushwhackers opened every major WWE pay-per-view or event for like 3 years in the early 90s. Who's going to start tonight? Get the Beverly Brothers and the Bushwhackers out there. They can do it. Thanks, Mike Enos.
Tito Santa will tell you it is quite the honor to be asked to open the pay-per-view.
He will. Tito is the consummate gentleman, the pro's pro.
Right. The pro's pro. We have so many things that we're not going to get to that planned.
Well. But you know what? I had fun. We talked about the history of the King of the Ring. Like,
that's right. Unplanned. But there you go. And just so that you listen, know, our Hall of Fame or Not segment is taking off. Because we take it to after the show. Then we take it to the Near Face Yes group over on Facebook. Taking it there. And then come Thursday, Hall of Fame or Not will be running at 411 Mania. It is now its own poll-based article. Same people we talk about on the show, Patrick, now. So we'll get the definitive answer one way or another on this.
Or at least the opinion of a bunch of people who think they should have the answer.
True, and who have absolutely no right to making that decision. Just like we don't have right either.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang.
I want to play angry old man here for a minute because as I was watching Raw, yeah, I know. My quick hit is, can we get back to chanting "This is awesome" only for things that are truly awesome and rare and not what you see every day? It's gotten to the point now where I think I could do like a spinning toe hold and I might get a "This is awesome" chant. And I don't want and for me, it's like, I don't want people to not drop that when something, you know, like is like truly amazing or not seen every day. But when we're getting "This is awesome" chance for every singles match or every tag team match or every whatever, we've lost it. And I want it back. Bring it back. Come join me in only awesome chant for the truly awesome things. Thank you.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it.
My kid, Patrick Redoubt, is now inspired. I really am enamored now with the King of the Ring again. Like, after reading, as we're talking about it, like, I miss the King of the Ring. Look, we have 7 battle royals a year now in the WWE. We have a battle royal for everything.
Somebody's
got
an empty vacant.
Right. We got a battle royal for the Intercontinental Championship. We have the Royal Rumble. We had a battle royal like to determine who's going to wrestle somebody or get into some match. We had Roman Reigns winning a battle royal. We had the WrestleMania battle royal. Now we have a battle royal to crown the Intercontinental Champion. It's just there's so many battle royals. I know that people like to say creative isn't very creative, but let's bring back the King of the Ring. Like, it's a way to be creative without having to be very creative. Like, you can – Raw's 3 hours long. You can do it on a Raw. It would be a pay-per-view that people would watch. It would be a special on the network. Like, there's no reason to not do a regular, every year, King of the Ring tournament. So, Patrick O'Dowd, I am here. I am starting my campaign to bring back the King of the Ring. If you're going to have the Intercontinental Championship, then I'm taking
you want the, King of
the King of the Ring. I want the King. You know I love me a tournament. Let's be honest.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm pretty in favor of it because historically it's an East Coast show. So
right.
I would have the chance to go see it if they followed that pattern, which I think is purely random once you get
it
past
is.
Like 1980. Or 1990.
You would think so, but as I'm looking at the location.
Yeah, I'm looking at them all right now. It's like Massachusetts,
it's like
Rhode Island.
Ohio, Baltimore, Maryland, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Okay, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
You hit Phoenix. You got Phoenix.
It is, but here's the thing. Phoenix was not the – it was the finals were held on the Judgment Day pay-per-view, which
yep.
I completely forgot about, that they did that in 2006. Like why would you do that? I have no idea.
Backlash? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, who knows? Backlash?
That's how we got King Booker.
I know. Like, you would think he didn't even get his own King of the Ring tournament win. Like, he actually had to do it. At least it was pretty high up on the card. And he beat TNA World Champion Bobby Lashley in the finals of the 2006.
I remember that. I do remember that, yep.
It's amazing how many things we can easily forget about and then are brought back to life. Because I'll be honest with you, when I played the Hulk Hogan theme song, Like, I felt like a kid again. I felt like a kid sitting in the Nassau Coliseum when Hulk Hogan came out. Shockingly to me, on the middle of the card for his main event match against Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. Now, knowing what I know, I realize why. It's because Hogan lost by disqualification, and they didn't want to end the card. You know what the main event was that night, Patrick? You know what went on last?
No, what went on last?
You're gonna love it. What went on last as young Greg DeMarco sat with Mama DeMarco in the Nassau Coliseum where Hulk Hogan, it was an 8-match card, Hogan versus Orndorff went on fourth. The main event turned out to be a tuxedo match between Hillbilly Jim and Mr. Fuji.
Oh, that's awesome.
And of course, because it was last, you got to send him home happy, Patrick O'Dowd. Hillbilly Jim goes over Miss Fuji in the tournament or in the tuxedo match. I also remember, like, the opener, the opening match was the Islanders in a tag team match against the odd tag team of Brooklyn Brawler and Cowboy Bob Orton.
Really? They went with two heel teams there?
No, at this point, the Islanders were still face.
Oh, they were still face? They hadn't turned?
Exactly. Like, this is there was no turn at this point yet. The Islanders were faced. So the Islanders go over, but because, you know, Bob Orton being at the level he was at, because he, you know, he wasn't far removed from, you know, being a second in a WrestleMania event. And here he is teaming with the lowly Brooklyn Brawler. So he attacks the Brawler post-match, including hitting him with his superplex off the second turnbuckle, and then walks away. Like, he got to get his heat back in the opening match of the house show at the Nassau Coliseum. Uniondale, Long Island, New York, as Howard Finkel used to say during the voiceover commercials when I was a kid watching Wrestling Challenge and Superstars of Wrestling and All American Wrestling, all the jobber shows that we all loved so much.
Hell yeah.
That was the art of the jobber.
Good old days.
It is. It is the good old days. So there we go. Patrick, another good show in the books. We had some fun with Renee Michelle. Lots of fun. We had a surprise appearance by Sue Young. And we got to talk a lot of wrestling. We had a lot of fun with WrestleZone because, I mean, come on, they deserved it.
Yeah, they earned their place today.
They sure did. They if there was a BS Hall of Fame, Patrick O'Dowd,
they would be
the initial inductee. Because even though, you know, PW Insider and of course the Wrestling Observer have spewed way more bullshit than WrestleZone has, just by the time factor alone, this is a Hall of Fame piece of bullshit is what this is. This is the greatest piece of bullshit I've ever had. It really, really is. So kudos to you, WrestleZone. You've outdone yourselves, and you deserve it. So there we go. And Patrick Down, you know, we've earned ourselves a 2-week vacation.
I think we have. I agree.
We have. So safe travels to you as you travel out.
Yeah, you have a good vacation too, bro.
We will. Safe travels as they make the trip out to California with the family. Should be a lot of fun. So there we go. That's going to do it, Patrick O'Dowd, for the Greg DeMarco Show. Say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people.
There we go. That's goodbye from Patrick O'Dowd. We appreciate you listening. Enjoy your vacation from us. We will come back excited, ready to have some more fun with you, with more guests, more women, more of what you love, right here on the Greg DeMarco Show.
It's a shameful thing. Lost your head.
Greg DeMarco, I need you. I can't live without you. I want you right now.
Actually, not that much. We are, 20 minutes? Yeah, maybe 20 minutes.
Excellent. Call back in. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to call back in. I'm joking. But
I'm crashing. I'm tired.
No, I don't blame you. And you've been on the go all day and even all weekend. So, Heather Lynn, we will talk to you next week.
Okay. I'll see you guys later. Bye, Patrick. Bye, Greg. And I love you, Greg.
Thank you, Greg. Oh, I want to say, Greg, I love you. I'm serious. I love you. Greg DeMarco, I love you. This is Dougie Nova, and I just want to let all you guys know that I love Greg DeMarco. True, I can't help it.
Greg DeMarco Show.
You know your damn role, and shut your damn mouth!
Enjoy the
Greg DeMarco Show.
And remember, it's party time, all the time.
Hey! Oh, 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 oh.
This is the One Girl Revolution, Taylor Hendricks, and you are listening to the Greg DeMarco Show.
I'd actually like to take this opportunity to wish
Greg DeMarco Show
the best in all his future endeavors.
You think you know me.
In the face.
And I love you, Greg.
Shut up!